Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Whether you're looking to start a career with no student loans or change careers to land one of the happiest jobs in the world, yep, that's construction, Build Mississippi can help. Visit buildmississippi.com to learn why a career in the trades deserves another look. buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Thursday night. My name is Michael Borky. You might hear in the background somebody saying, Michael Borky. If you hear that, then so be it. A little bit late, appreciate that. Just took us a little bit longer than usual to get to bed tonight. So I appreciate those of you that are here, albeit just a little bit late. Again, please forgive me. Just sometimes, you know, if you have kids, you understand that bedtime doesn't always go as planned. And tonight it just did not go as planned. So here we are. Glad that you guys are with me. 10 days ago, I did an episode of this very podcast entitled, What Do We Hope to Learn or What Can We Learn About Ole Miss During Training Camp? So 10 days later, it's a very simple theme. What have we learned about Ole Miss so far during training camp? Haven't had all that many practices, to be quite frank, but still, what have we learned so far about Ole Miss during training camp? And of course, your comments as well. It is a beautiful August evening. Guys, I don't know if you've been outside much today. In the Jackson area, which is where I'm located, because that's where the corporate headquarters of Super Talk Mississippi is located, it was 88 and breezy today. It was just beautiful. Had a little false fall vibe today. So hope you guys got to be outside and play today like we did. So again, appreciate you being here. We're talking about all that tonight on this edition of the Rebel Report. Please subscribe if you have not already. If you're listening to the podcast on the website at supertalk.fm, if you're watching on YouTube, wherever you are, do not forget to subscribe to this very podcast. Wherever you get them, just search Rebel Report, leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear, and also follow me on social media. Twitter, YouTube, at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. There it is. there it is. He did it. But yes, follow me there, like the video, subscribe, and all that good stuff here on YouTube as well. And this edition of the show, and every edition of the show, is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, Saltillo, Mississippi. Look, we hope that you don't have to use them. I say it every time, that we hope the day doesn't come where you have been possibly injured. But if you have, or if that day comes, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has you covered. Also, they do small business and contract disputes. So check them out. Here's the phone number, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. You're not just another number with the Gregory Law Firm. He will actually develop a relationship with you. He will care about you beyond just what you can do for him. But that's the difference with the Gregory Law Firm, bringing you tonight's edition of the Rebel Report. So what have we learned so far during training camp? What have we learned? The thing that I've talked about with you guys before, I did it on the radio show today. Richard and I kind of went back and forth in agreement on this, is Ole Miss is in no hurry. And I know we talked about this last time, but that's the theme that I keep coming back to, is they're in no hurry. There is no rush for us to learn something, or for them to learn something that we can find out about. There are position battles everywhere. And as we'll get to in a second, both of the Washington transfer linemen, one of which, as we learned, if you take Richard at his word, which you should on this, was involved possibly in a car accident right before camp began. and had to go into concussion protocol as a result. But both of them now practicing without restrictions, that's a good sign. But you've got position battles on the offensive line. You've got maybe not a position battle necessarily, but you've got a pecking order that is to be established with the running backs. You've got, I think that, you know, safety is an interesting position to look at snap distribution, considering what they return and what they added via transfer portal. You already know that the defensive line is going to rotate a lot and play a lot. Who's going to step up to be like the fourth wide receiver? Those kind of things. That's all very real. And those are all questions that need to be answered at some point. It just doesn't feel like they think that they need to answer them today. And why would they? It's August 8th. They've got Furman coming up. They've got Middle Tennessee after that. There's no need for them to rush. So what have we learned? Very, very little, in part because, you know, they don't have to. There's still plenty of time, in part because there is no real media access to practices. There's nothing to be learned because they don't show you anything at all. I really wish, I do. I know some fans don't really care about this, and maybe just because I'm in the position that I'm in, that I wish that there was more practice access and there was after every single practice, you had coach and multiple players that had to talk about what everybody there saw. As a Saints fan, I love that Nick Underhill can chart Derek Carr's passes every day. I love that every day I get a Jake Haener versus Spencer Rattler, who's going to be quarterback two situation. I love that the media gets to watch that, because as a fan, I cannot get enough of consuming real practice reports, not the ones that, like Neil McCready, for example. I mean, he gets to watch 15 minutes of practice, you know, and his subscribers are like, what did you see? What did you see? Nothing really. I mean, I saw them warm up. And so there's that constant battle of, you know, fans want that so bad, but the people covering it literally cannot give it to them if they're doing their job correctly. Now, you could go to 15 minutes of warm-ups and then inflate the hell out of everything you saw if you want to, but that's why I love NFL access so much more than college, because I get to consume like real information every day and not, you know, this guy stretched today. But anyway, so by design, there's not much to learn. Because of circumstances, they don't need to rush themselves into anything. So is there anything that we can take away? A few things for sure. Health is the obvious one. The fact that Princely Umanmielen is practicing and practicing seemingly looking like he's full speed in his media op, he talked about how, you know, it's still day to day. He's still limited to some degree, but said he feels really, really good. In all the videos and stuff, he looks good. He's going through drills and everything and using that surgically repaired shoulder and pushing sleds and whatnot. So he looks physically, he looks great. And also in the videos, he's moving around well. Same thing with Juice Wells, him practicing and coming back after that surgery. And I know that a lot of South Carolina people picked up on one tweet that he wasn't participating in a period of practice, but him running around at all is a positive development. Both of those Washington linemen being there now and going through camp and not having the restrictive jerseys on, those kind of things are also really positive and encouraging. You hear a lot of really good things about Walter Nolan, which, you know, when Nolan and Princely transferred to Ole Miss, there was a lot of talk about a motor or lack thereof. I should say that, you know, those guys, you know, they're really talented, but they have problems, right? There's attitude. They don't work hard, whatever. And look, it could just all be spin. It's possible that it is, because nobody's really getting to watch, but everything that is said by their teammates and by their coaches about what they're doing is positive. It's really good. And yes, it's easy to sound positive and good in camp, but these are a couple of guys that are uber talented, and you know that, but there had been questions, whether they're fair or not, there were questions about them going into this season, and you're hearing nothing but positivity about the way they're conducting themselves. You know, Princely talked about how he texted Pete Golding at 10:30 at night, and Pete responded, by the way. He was up, and they texted back and forth about something that Princely was thinking about that happened at practice earlier that day. And could you imagine how good that feels for Pete Golding? I mean, some people are like, you know, don't text me after hours at all. But the fact that your transfer stud defensive end is up at 10:30 with football on the brain, so much so that he's reaching out to you, that's a really encouraging and positive thing. Hearing what they say about Nolan is a really encouraging and positive thing. There is some things that you can learn listening to coaches and other players. And so far on that front, so good. I have not myself, but still I haven't heard anything negative about either one of those two. Other things that we've learned, Ulysses Bentley put on some weight, looks like he put on some weight, but also said himself that he did. And I think as long as he didn't sacrifice his speed, there is a question about his durability. But when he plays, he's electric. And so, yes, I know the running back room has Parrish and Amos as well with him, but I do think that Bentley is the guy that is primed to be the majority carry getter on that team. But physically, would he be able to hold up? Him adding more weight really helps in that regard. We learned from Pete Golding today that that they're going to be they're not pigeonholing Santarian Perkins into one position, that they're going to do a lot of things with him. And this is what I love about Lane Kiffin and Pete Golding and how they approach things. And this is why Ole Miss is coached so well and schemed so well, because Pete straight up said, you know, they're going to use him different ways, opponent dependent. They're not going to say, hey, this is what he does and this is what he's going to do. It doesn't matter. It's they're going to adjust his role based on opponent. And that sounds so simple. Like you would think that, you know, why doesn't every coach do that? Nick Saban's biggest strength was adaptability, right? That's what made him so great, is when whatever was thrown at him, he was willing to change. Lane Kiffin and Pete Golding are like that. And not every coach is like that. They do different things that are opponent dependent. They do different things that are personnel dependent. And hearing the positive reviews about Santarian Perkins, but more specifically how they're going to move him around depending on what the best way to attack an opponent is also really encouraging. So what have we learned? Very, very little. And that's okay. We probably shouldn't have learned much between the start of camp and now. But getting healthier, that's a good thing. Protecting their bodies, that's a good thing. You're hearing a lot of really good stuff from the transfers. I mentioned Nolan Newman-Mielen, but Jackson Dart at Media Day really kind of side-eyed and winked about Juice Wells. And so the three highest profile transfers they brought in are drawing rave reviews so far in camp. It's only 10 days into it, but I think that's significant. So we'll get to your comments as well. Very little out there in terms of news in the Ole Miss space right now. Basically no news at all. But glad that you guys are here. And we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. We've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely one in your backyard. They make it their priority every single day with local loan servicing and decision-making. So if you need a loan, you don't get on Zoom and talk to somebody from out of state. You sit down with somebody face-to-face, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Also, the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, whatever it is. If it's tech, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So here we go. He lives. Yes, I live. A little late. It was about 13 minutes. Wasn't too bad. You always get picked on when you say I'm late. I expect equal treatment for our other regulars. Fair enough. Can't have my son taking the spotlight. So we were up way, way, way late last night, like way past his bedtime, watching Despicable Me. We're big on the Minions right now. Love the Minions. And I'm kind of nervous about the habits that the Minions are teaching. For example, there's a scene where there's like three of them on a copy machine, and they're photocopying their butts. And like when it comes out of the copier, the other one picks up the picture and turns around and goes, "But," and they all start laughing, and they do it like three times. And so now every time anything can reference a butt, he says "but" and starts laughing. And we're meeting his teachers tomorrow, and he starts school on Monday. And I'm afraid he's going to run around within the walls of a place of worship, you know, a church, talking about butts. And it's going to be like, where did you learn that? So, anyway, give him a red card and tell him he has to go to bed. Yeah, we do a yellow card, red card, just like soccer in this house, but it's working. It is working. You've browsed the South Carolina message boards the last few days, and you swear on every page there's a thread on Juice Wells. The hate is, it's thick, man. It is really thick. And like I've said to you guys before, I think a lot of it has to do with how bad they are. I mean, look, Ole Miss lost Quinshon Judkins, and Ole Miss fans do not have good things to say about Quinshon Judkins. I don't see many Ole Miss fans talking about Quinshon Judkins. Why is that? Because the team's going to be good. Because Ole Miss is going to be good even without him. They got nothing over there. And the more I read and hear, speaking of media access, what Spencer Rattler has been doing in practice, the more I think that South Carolina is even worse than I expect them to be. And maybe Lenora Sellers is going to be great, but Spencer Rattler's been unbelievable in Saints camp. He was unbelievable for South Carolina each of the last 2 years. They just couldn't protect him at all. And frankly, I don't think that they're schemed very well either. His loss is a lot more significant than they want to truly realize, but that's where all that's coming from, that they want a scapegoat. And Juice is the scapegoat for their program being a disaster. That's what it is. On a complete sports side note, if anybody wants to see an insane environment, check out the Olympic men's basketball final. France hates Joel Embiid, and they're playing the U.S. for the gold medal. Steve Kerr needs to get out of their way is what needs to happen. The more I think about it, and the more I kind of watch, the more I lean on the side of Steve Kerr benefited from his front office drafting generational players and not he's a great coach. Anyway, college football game got an update today. They added the new road powder Ole Miss uniforms and fixed the logo issues. Annoying that the nameplate on the back covers the stripes. It's like that on every team. Yeah, I guess they got to make it big enough to justify paying them, or maybe that's like a sacrifice they're willing to make sure that the players and fans can see the name. But I love that new jersey. I really do. I love the powder blue. I think it's just a perfect color, and it fits with red, and it's got a great story. But what I love about what Ole Miss is doing with their jerseys is that they're new, they're different, but they still look like you. You know what I mean? There's not some crazy deviation away from what works. Ole Miss has really, really, really good-looking uniforms, among the best in college football. So they play around with it because you should play around with jerseys. Try new stuff. If Ohio State's not too good for it, if Michigan's not too good for it, you're not either. So try new things. But they're doing it in the framework of what makes them great. The script Ole Miss on the side. That's just a great logo, and it's always there. The simplicity of the uniforms, they haven't changed that. I love it. They still have Ole Miss on, and others have sidelines on the wrong side. LSU and State have that problem too. Yeah, I've heard that. I still have not played myself. What have we learned? Absolutely nothing in terms of anything we didn't already know or assumed. Do I think when we look up in a year or less, teams will be required to share injury info? My friend, you are in for a treat because it's going to happen this year. There's an AD's meeting. I think Ross broke this news. Ross Dellinger, the always breaking news Ross Dellinger. I think it was him that was first on this. But the SEC is going to do the mandatory injury reports possibly this year. There's a vote. I think it's next week, either this week or next week, that'll make that. Now, there's a few other things that I have questions about in regarding that. How detailed will it be? Will you have to do practice participation as well, like the NFL does practice participation? And like, what will be the penalties if you don't do it? You know what I mean? Or if you embellish it? Sorry, I've got a. Anyway, the hype on Ole Miss has been dominant in most conversations, but you've been seeing a lot more doubt, a lot of 9-3s with losses to teams like Florida and especially Arkansas. Where's that coming from? Because losing to this Arkansas team? I mean, that would be an abject disaster . Furman game will be a glorified scrimmage. Absolutely true. Wouldn't be surprised if Walker Howard starts the Furman game. I would be, because that would mean Jackson got hurt. Howard should start the second half. No reason for Dart to be out there. I agree. Got to take care of business first, though. Can't have a ULM situation like they had last year. Know why teams only allow 15 minutes of media time and only show stretches, light work stuff? Because beat writers, for the most part, have become stupid enough to share critical scheme information instead of saying there are some interesting and exciting things coming. Well, that's not reporting. At that point, you're just a mouthpiece. If, there's something really interesting that they're cooking in practice, that's just being a mouthpiece. That's not being a reporter. But my counter to that would be the NFL figures it out. They have closed practices. They do. But their media gets to see a hell of a lot more. Do the super secret stuff when you have your closed practices. It's not hard, because the NFL is more valuable than college by a lot. There's a lot more riding on success on the field in the NFL than there is in college. Well, at least there's more. It's a larger financial entity. Although the volatility of losing in college is different than that of the NFL. You can be a really terrible team and the owner still makes a lot of money. But the NFL has figured out how to do it without compromising teams' game plans and schemes. If they can do it, colleges can too. It's paranoia is what it is. And it's paranoia that is allowed. The NFL forces teams to give media access, because more media access means more attention, more fans, more. That's the one thing that they've got figured out. College is extremely popular in spite of the way they allow it to be covered. So if there is a problem that arises in the locker room or poor response to adversity, where do I think we'd see it first? Baton Rouge 2 years ago became a disaster after the first quarter. Kentucky. Because I think Ole Miss is beating Kentucky. I don't think that Ole Miss is just going to beat Kentucky by 40. So if there's locker room issues, I think that game could be one where they get not punched in the mouth or whatever, but Kentucky is able to bring a punch to that game. We're going to learn so much about this Ole Miss team when they play Kentucky. So much about them when they play Kentucky. Side note, you think Tim Elko may be a huge star in the MLB? And what a great story he will be as well. Thoughts on Texas losing CJ Baxter for the season? The closer we get to kickoff, the more concerned I get about Texas. more concerned as in like you're concerned about like them not being as good as you think, or concerned as in like they could win a national championship, Ole Miss could see them in the SEC championship and get beat by them. It's horrible though. I mean, that stings for Baxter. It's rough. Was really good, was going to be really good. The good news for Texas is that's the position that is the easiest to replace on a football team, at least in the all 22 anyway. But electric player, I mean, that does hurt Texas, obviously. You hate it for the player, no doubt, but that is the position, especially with Texas, and you look at what they have in the running back room, that's the easiest position to replace a loss. There is some news, though. Borky football's around the corner. Very close. What are we, 16 days away from week zero? We've gotten to the point where I have talked myself into thinking that Georgia Tech can beat Florida State. I've gotten there. I have gotten there. And we just need football to get here, because I'm talking myself into crazy stuff. Like, I'm talking myself into Florida's going to be good. I'm talking myself into a lot. It's getting bad over here. There's going to be like 20 Despicable Me and Minion movies soon enough. Yeah, the Despicable Me 4, I can rent for $20 on Amazon right now. So we're not going to learn that one exists for a while. When Sellers throws three pick sixes against Ole Miss, all that hype will die down. Shoot, man, it won't even have to be that, I think. Just a couple of losses going into that game will keep people away. But, yeah, that'll be a good test for Ole Miss, though, because of where it is on the schedule. That's one of those maturity games. You're going to have some kind of, like, negativity for sure, and it's sandwiched in between two quote-unquote emotional games. Now, hear me, I don't think Kentucky's emotional, but that is the first big game for Ole Miss of the year. I mean, Vaught Hemingway's going to be nuts. The town's going to be nuts. That'll be the first real big game. And then after that, they're in Baton Rouge. But Columbia's a bear, or at least it can be anyway. Again, I think that the team's not going to be very good, and they'll have at least one loss, probably two by then. But that's a maturity test for Ole Miss, is that game. Just go down there and take care of business, despite it being in a weird spot on the schedule. Doesn't it feel like Juice Wells will be in a lot of play design in Columbia? I have a feel. I mean, Lane is petty like that. Yeah, he'll get whatever he wants that day. Perkins only gaining a couple of pounds since last year, so lame. He's trying. It's not for lack of trying. He's trying. You don't hate people, but you hate South Carolina fans now. It's crossed into ugly and unnecessary. People say Ole Miss beats Oklahoma, then no shows at Arkansas next week. That is so... Whatever. Bobby Petrino will be coaching that game. On November 2nd, Bobby Petrino's coaching for Arkansas that day. You love listening to Hey Dad's Pod, and he's been talking up the prospects of State winning the Egg Bowl more and more. Must say, I wish I had his optimism. You know who loves him talking up the prospects of winning the Egg Bowl more and more? His audience. It doesn't matter if there's no actual reason to think that other than rivalry. I promise you, his audience loves that. And I get it. I don't agree at all, but you agree about the Kentucky game? Got a feeling they're going to trash Wake Forest. I do too. What can be learned from practice we won't learn in the first 4 weeks of the season? Nothing. Health. That's it. the first four games are far more educational than anything that can happen in practice other than health. How do I feel about college preseason games or joint practices? Coaches would never go for it. It'd be interesting. I'd love to cover it, but coaches would never go for it. You think Texas may be 9-3? Another one, Texas might not be as good as I think. I've got them at 11-1, but I don't feel comfortable with it. Quinn Ewers is talented, but low-key wasn't that great last year, compared to his hype anyway. He had a good season. Like, he's a good quarterback. He's very talented. The production a season ago doesn't exactly match that of, like, elite, like, surefire first round, this dude's unbelievable kind of hype that he's getting, Heisman hype, national champion, that kind of stuff. He was really good, but was he that? I don't know. There was an Arkansas fan who truly believed the ratings and performance in College Football 25 is an indicator for how they'll play in real life. God bless that person. We're in that time of the offseason where Arkansas and State are going 9-3. Arkansas is not, State's not either, but Arkansas sure as hell isn't. You can probably flip that number and get to Arkansas. Would I be surprised if Arkansas has a better record than Oklahoma at season's end? I would be less surprised if I woke up and my car on its own in my garage flipped upside down. That would surprise me less than Arkansas having a better record than Oklahoma this year. Speaking of week zero, you need Ole Miss to get the Ireland game 1 year so you can go back over there. Wouldn't that be incredible? Is Kentucky under a postseason ban? No, they are not. You think Ole Miss could sue the NCAA to get back vacated wins? They should. They should. He wouldn't put his money on State in the Egg Bowl. No, he doesn't think they're winning the game, but he is doing the never count out anybody in the Egg Bowl ever thing. And, you know, history does show that generally that, you know, it is a rivalry game. Things do happen. Speaking of lawsuits, Lane should have known that author was addicted to suing people. I disagree there. Should have known? I mean, how could he have known until the clown decided to sue him too? But no, that won't go anywhere. I assume Lane's lawyer probably laughed and we'll get that dismissed rather quickly. What would be more surprising, Arkansas having a better record than Oklahoma or Ole Miss losing the Egg Bowl? Arkansas having a better record than Oklahoma would still be more surprising than Ole Miss losing the Egg Bowl. That's how low on Arkansas I am this year. Is the Ole Miss roster as good as Texas? You want to say no, but then compare position groups. Would I trade Ole Miss's roster for Texas's right now? It's a good question. I'll have to think on that. Glad to see you, Edward. I got to get going myself, actually. The wide receiver room is great, but what other positions do I think have the most depth? Defensive line. I think Ole Miss is, well, okay, depth. No position group on this roster has the ceiling that the wide receiver room has. I think the defensive line depth is phenomenal with Nolan, Pegues, Ivy, and Uman Mielen. But the fact that they have Chris Hardy, Xavier Harris, Akello Stone, the four freshmen that they brought in, Cam Franklin's getting rave reviews, Eccles is getting rave reviews, that they have a lot there on the defensive line, I think. At least in the ones and twos, really good there. On the offensive line, there's three guys that are going to not start that were big-time players or have a large number of games played. So the offensive line, while it's a big question mark, has a ton of experience, a ton of experience. That's where I would go. Did I see the news about TJ? Yeah, McCants. You said McCants hit a home run in his first pro at bat. That's pretty cool. Well, I don't want to do two nights, Brandon. I've already got to do one on the boat. I've already got to do one. I'll take you. No, the run pass ratio, or you mean the pass run ratio being above 52-48. I don't want to take you up on that. Because the more I think about it, the closer we get to the season, the more you might be on to something there. So, I think you're on to something. Anyway, I know it's my fault I was late, but because I was late, I've got to get going. I appreciate you guys. I wanted to play for you Charlie Weiss Jr. and Pete Golding, but something went wrong at Ole Miss, and the videos are not up, and they may never be up, so... That's a shame because I was looking forward to playing some of that for you guys. But in the meantime, you guys have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Sunday night. We'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.